Okay, I'm happy for this opportunity. I will talk about the of members who left the project. The name is Reencontre Project. One question, important question for us. What kind of evangelism can reach those who have the large, the church? Expert point is three basic ways of growing a local church. The first way is growth by evangelism. We reach out the new believers through personal and the public evangelism. Public evangelism, it's like fishing a net. We reach all kinds of fish. Personal evangelism is like catching one fish at a time. The second way is biological growth. In countries where the birth rate per family is low, the aging of the church has been affected. Our third way is growth by transfer. A local church received Adventist members who migrated from other Adventist churches and thus increased membership. But we saw three aspects now, but we have put in practice a new way, evangelism seeking former members or backsliders. In South America Division, we call Reencontre Project. Research on members who have left the church has multiplied, but one that caught my attention. We have two groups. The first group, former members who have not yet returned. The second group, the group of former members who have already returned and stand firm in their faith. In the first group, former members, they affirmed several things. Several were correct, other factors were not so relevant. Considering they have not returned, it still holds some hurt feelings. And then we ask it to second group, what are the main and the real reason why you left the church? The two points answered. Personal spiritual crisis, number one. Number two, personal decisions. Another important question was asked, what were the general reasons why you decide to go back to the church? Many questions, several factors. They missed the fellowship of the church members. They felt strong desire to return when they found a warm reception by members of the church. Mm-hmm. And the other variable factors is very small percentage. But then we asked, what was the strongest deciding factor and sentiment made you decide to return? I found that the responses very impressive. They said that when they discovered that someone was fighting for them, through prayer. Mm. When we pray for former members and they find out I has a real impact on their life. Second, when they find someone who really cares, help someone who has left the church in a personal way, showing them that you care and being patient, fulfilling their necessities is a deciding factor in their decision to return. We can conclude, must leave the church for spiritual reasons, must return the church for spiritual reasons. Because of the problem, continue in the church in all times. This is those two points the people answer for us. We saw, I put the one video now, Pastor, the audio, please. Okay, okay.
I had the privilege to be born in Adventist home. I was born and raised there with my mom, always teaching me things about the Bible, stories, Jesus, and I was raised there and I never left church. But then I got to my 13 years old, 14, and I decided to leave. I wasn't interested in things about church. I wasn't thinking about Jesus anymore. But he never left me. So when I went to Orlando, I met a friend, and my mom was always praying for me. She never stopped praying. And then I met a friend, and he brought me back to Jesus because I went after him, and he told me that I had to look for Jesus because Jesus was coming back, is coming back. And I know that he's the way. And this friend of mine, he took me back to church, and he presented me to the, he introduced me to the pastor of the community, the Adventist church. And then the pastor over there took me to work every Wednesday and Saturday, Sabbath, work with him. And I had the great opportunity to sing over there in the church, and God used me a lot. So I'm thankful for God, for my decision, and the friends, and my mom's prayer. And now I'm here, I'm 19 years old, about to turn 20, and I have a great privilege to be here at UNASPI, an Adventist college, and I'm very happy to be here. I met a girl, she's from church, and she teach me things about Jesus, and I have nothing to complain about. Jesus have worked, and I'm very happy to be back at church because Jesus is always working for us, for me and for you.
Amen.
We saw he went through a spiritual crisis and decided to leave. He returned by his mother's prayers and because the care of a friend.
Amen.
Thousand will return the fold, the good shepherd. I will begin a great movement of faith and prayer, working for those who have left the church. Amen.
Amen.
So, you can ask, how can members get involved in this project in rescue for former members who have left the church? We are seeking discipleship, aiming on mission. One of causes of the spiritual decline in the crisis life and apostasy is loss of evangelistic passion. The parables illustrate very well God's desire to save those who are lost. The lost sheep represent 1% of loss.
Okay.
The lost silver coin represent 10% of loss. The prodigal son represents 50% of loss. It doesn't matter it's 1, 10, or 50 of loss. The important thing is not lose anyone.
Amen. Amen.
The shepherd leaves 99 in the fold and goes in search of the one that is lost until it's found. Can you read, please, Pastor? Pastor, can you read for me? Okay.
The sheep that has strayed from the fold is the most helpless of all creatures. It must be sold for the shepherd, for it cannot find its way back. So, with the soul that has wandered away from God, he is as helpless as the lost sheep. And unless divine love had come to his rescue, he could never find his way to God.
Discipleship orientation of members is related to love and mission in three basic aspects: faith, prayer, and actions. James chapter 5:19-20. My brothers and sisters, if you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from error of their way will save them from death and cover over multitude of sins. This is specific Bible verse about the former members. The local church must challenge their leaders to apply this principle of the growth in discipleship to those who are the process of the apostles. Involvement of members and the devil of the evangelistic passion we can begin meeting, seeking for former members. For reasons. First, the community of faith. The sense of community is something very strong in the church, and losing a family members is something painful for those who truly love. This low cost of personal evangelism. The friendship factor. They have either attended or grown up in the church together or both. And knowledge of doctrine. The person already knows the doctrine. They need a few studies to reinforce knowledge. The summary the results in Brazil. The Central Brazilian Union, 18% of the five past years, total achievement was rebaptism. This is a very important factor on the church growth. In South America division, rebaptism represents 12.9 in the rural South America division. Amen. Strategies. Okay. Basically, these five strategies were used for Reencontro Project. The first, Reencontro Project through the Sunday school class. The church secretary gathering the names of the regular members. The members pray, visit to work, in the delivers. They play card for working with the former members. During this time, the class prepared the baptisms that take place throughout the years, and a new column in the Sabbath school card is added for members that are absent and the four former members. The second way is Reencontro Weekend Evangelist Meeting. The local church scheduled the meeting. A baptism take place to help altar call former members. The program is same. This night we will have the same program this night. The local church scheduled the meeting. And a good program about this. Invitation cards are distributed. Great care is taken in the preparation of the program and the sermon, especially designed for members. The third is Youth Pray Week. A special week pray is held, and advances the youth church members reach out and invite the former members. Invitation cards, DVDs are distributed. Altar calls are made for former members. Follow-up continues after the altar call are accepted. The four-way a public evangelism caravan. Invitation cards are distributed. An evangelist conference is held each day at the different church. Preparation for baptism are made in advance for the caravan. Follow-up continue after the altar call are accepted. The five-way is robe of faith. Is good project because have 3 points: visitation, intercessory prayer, kit of robe faith. We visit the former members and give them kit robe faith, which includes a baptismal robe and a DVD along with invitation to come see the program at church. Rebaptisms. After they attend a special Reencontro program, they are prepared to be rebaptized. In my union, I did 5,000 robes of faith for gift for former members.
Okay.
It's good program. So we have seen so far that there are five ways to put the project in action. It's easy on the work of the local church. How when can we apply this? We choose this, or this. the better for local church. Okay? And our challenge is rescue the Adventist church it's outside, far from ways of Jesus, bring them home. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen. Can we ask a question?
Just before Magdiel comes on, let me say thanks to Pastor Emmanuel for the presentation. Now, the format was that we would have questions and answers at this period. But what we want to do, if we could just go on to part two, because it's a continuation. Pastor Emmanuel dealt with the philosophy. And now, Brother Magdiel is going to deal with the how-to. So I don't know if you wouldn't mind holding your question.
No.
Okay. All right.
I hope I can still remember.
Well, you know, maybe I ought to take your question.
No,
okay. Let's welcome Magdiel. I introduced him earlier. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. As we've heard, the experience of the Central Brazil Union is what led to the rest of the South American division to work on what we have called the Reencounter Program. Now, let me just go back to one of the slides that he showed that is or shows us what has been going on in the South American division for the last 8 years. We started back in 2011, the first Reencounter Program. And we have seen it grow every year. Imagine that in the last 5 years, we baptized 1.2 million persons into the church. But of those 1.2 million, 154,000 were former members of the church. How do we do it? Who is in charge of this program in the South American division? We thought that maybe the head elder was a good person, or we thought maybe the pastor. But really, since this program was taken by secretariat, we decided that the church clerks were the ones who were to administer the Reencounter program. In South America, we don't call them church clerks. We call them church secretaries.
Okay.
So they found out that although they need to work on the membership books, they need to work on the different clerical staff of their responsibility, when we gave them the ministry of regaining the former members, of bringing back the former members, they took it as a special ministry. Now, I'm going to show you a few of the materials that we use, and every year, we have come with a different theme for the Reencounter program. Every year is a different subject that we talk about. Usually it's before September of the previous year that we have the materials ready. So we send it to the churches, reminding them that at least one Sabbath during the year, it's going to be a special Sabbath, and they need to prepare for the Reencounter Sabbath. It's the moment in which we invite the former members of the church, we invite them for a special program, and the whole church prepares for that special program. As you're going to see in the ministry magazine, this month's ministry magazine that's going to be given out later on today or tomorrow, we have there a few more examples, but there's some tips that I prepared after the experience we had in South America. How is it that we prepare? How is it that the materials that we work with are going to be used? First of all, the first tip for this Reencounter program is to plan an intentional and specific strategy for reaching the inactive members. It's not something that you prepare from one week to the other. It's not a program that you go to the church board and then you decide and then a couple Sabbaths later you bring to the church. This program, it takes between 6 and 8 months to prepare the church. The whole church needs to be engaged. The church members, they get excited about the possibility of having one Sabbath in which they are going to invite a member of the family that's outside of the church, a workmate, a classmate, a neighbor that used to attend church. So we try to have the whole church engaged and prepared for this special Sabbath. The second tip is to involve the church members. Have them choose one or more names of inactive members whom they might know. Invite them to pray regularly for the selected individuals and engage with them in some way. Remember, this is a spiritual program. It's not only a program of reclaiming our former members. Mm-hmm. It is a spiritual program that's going to affect spiritually the former members, but it's also going to affect spiritually the members of the church, because they are all going to be engaged in the program. The third tip is to train our church members. It's not a matter that the church clerks or the church secretaries or the elder and the pastor of the church is going to be prepared. We need to have each one of our church members in some way or another be trained for that special Sabbath. Beginning with the greeters, you're going to see in the article on the ministry magazine an experience that I had. I had one of my best friends from elementary school. He was baptized, but then he went astray. For 20 years, he did not come back to the church. We kept in contact. And one day I realized, after messaging with him, after talking with him, after meeting with him every time that I went to that city, I felt that he was prepared to go back to the church. And I took him one Sabbath. You know what the first words he heard when, as soon as he stepped into the church were? The church elder, he was trying to be funny. He knew him since he was a kid. But his first words were, my, what has the devil done to you that you haven't been in church for so long? Can you imagine what the feeling of that person is?
Yeah.
He
covered
his ears. He was struggling for so many years to come back to the church, and that's a greeting he gets. So remember, we need to train every member so that when we have that special Sabbath, it's a Sabbath that we've been preparing for 4 or 5, 6 months, that everyone knows what to do. The fourth tip, it's alert the Sabbath school teachers and other leaders to watch carefully for members who have missed even 1 or 2 weeks.
Yes.
If a member misses one Sabbath and we go and visit him, it's easy for him to come back. But if he's out of church for a month, for a year, for 2 years, and nobody has visited him, it's going to be harder for him to come back. Mm-hmm. So we train, especially the Sabbath school teachers, to be on the lookout. As soon as we don't see a member of our Sabbath school class, we try to contact him. The fifth tip, keep return members engaged in church by immediately involving them in some type of ministry. You know, some of our church members, when we have asked, former church members, when we have asked, what did you do at church? Some of them say, for weeks I went to church and nobody even greeted me. I wasn't involved in anything. As soon as we involve the former members in doing something, little ministry, or using his talents, they get engaged and it's difficult for them to go out of the church. The sixth tip, work with the returning members who may be struggling with some habits. They've been out of the church for some time. They have done things that, or they have involved with people that don't have the best of the habits. Let's not judge them. Let's work with them so that they can feel embraced by the church and not judged by the church. And seven, I left it as the last one, but it's probably, and it is the most important, pray for them. Mm-hmm. Pray for our former members. And the materials that I'm going to show you in the next minutes, it's about the theme of the Reencounter project that we had a couple of years ago in the South American division. Everything that we did during that year, it was about one theme.
And the theme was, it's never too late. Somebody or someone is praying for you. Everything that we did that year on the Reencounter Project was on prayer. Somebody's praying for you. And it touches. You're going to see in a little video that I'm going to show you towards the end, the testimony of a former member of the church who felt cared for because he had church members, his family in this case, praying for him. So, what do we have as resources? About 6 months before we had the Reencounter Sabbath, we put up a poster at the church. And the poster, as soon as the church members see the poster, they realize that it's going to be about the Reencounter Sabbath. They realize that that is going to be the date, the time, and the place where we're going to have the Reencounter Sabbath. So they start thinking on it. Remember, the theme for this year, too, a couple of years ago, was it's never too late, somebody's praying for you. Now, as soon as we put up the poster, then we take about 10 minutes on a Sabbath, between Sabbath school and the sermon, to explain to the church member what are the steps that we're going to take to be prepared as a church to receive the former members. Remember, this is not just out of the ordinary. This is not just preparing from 1 week to the other. We train the church. And in this little pamphlet, we have the different steps. We're going to pray for the former members. We're going to prepare a special lunch on that Sabbath. The Sabbath school is going to be, we're going to study the same lesson, but it's going to be special because we're going to focus on the former members that are going to be coming to the church. We're going to have a special sermon. We're going to have a potluck. We're going to send them some letters. So the whole church is prepared step by step for that special Sabbath. We also have a prayer card, and we give it out to each one of the members in which they write down the name of a relative, as I said, a workmate, a schoolmate, a neighbor, a person that they know somewhere, and they start praying for that person. This is called the prayer card. But also, we as a church engage in praying for the members, though the former member, that are going to be coming on that special Sabbath. We just realized, and I just realized from Pastor Emmanuel, that last year they decided not to have seven names, but just to have one or two names, so that the church member can focus on just one or two persons, visits them, calls them ahead of time, 3 months, 4 months in advance, and tells them, I'm praying for you. I'd like to invite you to a special program that we're going to have. Then, about 3 weeks before the special Sabbath, we send them a letter. It's a sort of a personalized letter in which we tell, and this letter is signed by their friend, by their former colleague, by their classmate, by their neighbor. It's signed by them, but we tell them what's going on in church. We're having so much fun. We're enjoying this series of meetings. We are having a special program. We want to invite you to that special program. It's going to happen in 3 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time. So by the fact that he receives a letter, he understands, although we have been praying for him, although we have contacted in a personal way with him, he realizes that there's going to be a special program made just for people like him. After we send the letter, we have a special sermon in which we preach in two Sabbaths. The first sermon, it's what we heard in one of the Brazilian churches, and Pastor Emmanuel preached this morning. It's a sermon in which we tell the church about the Reencounter program. We make an appeal to them to care for the former members. We explain a little what the program is going to be like. But then there's another sermon that
has been prepared, the church clerk or the church elder or the pastor or somebody preaches it on the day of the re-encounter program. It's a sermon that appeals to the heart, because most of our church former members, they know the doctrine. They were baptized. They know the doctrines. There's not much we can do, but remind them of what we have. So the sermon is more heart appealing. And in this case, the first sermon, it's about reconciliation, how we as church members can be agents of reconciliation. Then we have Bible studies. As I said, most of the members, or former members, they know the doctrines. They were baptized before. They went through the 28 doctrines. So what we do is we prepare our members, their friends, so that in 6 weeks after the special Sabbath, after the re-encounter Sabbath, for 6 weeks, somebody's going to their house with Bible studies. And in those 6 weeks, you should come back sometime. In those 6 weeks,
re-encounter.
What we do in the Bible studies is that we review the 28 doctrines. So they're reminded of what we believe. They're reminded of the way that we do things at church. They're reminded of what we believe as a church. Now, there's also a magazine, and I'm sorry, but it's coming up in a couple of seconds. We also give them a magazine. The Sabbath that they go, and they have lunch with us, and they have that special program, we give them a magazine. And in the magazine, we talk about, it's a 10 or 12 page magazine, we talk about what it is to be an Adventist, but we also talk about the theme of the re-encounter program. Remember that in our case, the theme, what was it? Prayer. That right. Someone was praying for them. So in that magazine, we talk about what is prayer. We talk about if God still hears our prayers. We talk about whether prayer makes a difference or not. We talk about the power of intercessory prayer. We talk about what the scientific research talks about prayer. We talk about 15 promises on prayer. And then when they read to that magazine, when they see that we have prepared something so special for them with each one of the material, they're just ready to come back. Now, I told you that I wanted to show you a video. Let me just take it out of there because half of the screen is out. This is a testimony of a person that came back.
It's coming up.
Okay. That came back to church because of the prayer of a church member. Let's listen to it. And that, with that, we will take the answer, the questions and answers.
Quantos sentia sentimento?
15 anos.
Era uma pessoa fechada, amargurada. Não transmitia sentimento.
15 anos a minha mãe estava afastada de Jesus.
Não, eu sou mais forte. Eu não vou voltar. 15 anos que eu digo que ela deixou de viver.
Durante toda a oração ela dizia amém, um amém bem forte. Mas quando chegava em nome de Jesus, ela ficava em silêncio. eu nasci quando ela tinha 18 anos. Os desafios dela eram muito grandes. Eu lembro que a minha mãe fala, sempre fala pra gente que quando eu chorava, ela chorava junto.
Minha mãe também mora aqui em São Francisco do Sul, na praia, no Ubatuba.
Meu primeiro contato com a Igreja Adventista foi há 15 anos atrás.
Os meus pais são separados e cada um deles casou e teve outros filhos. Nessa época em que minha mãe estava para conhecer, se casar novamente, esse senhor que minha mãe casaria, ele era um ex-adventista. E foi ali que a gente começou a ter um contato mais profundo com a Bíblia.
Nosso pai não aceitava de jeito nenhum que nós mudássemos de religião, mas mesmo assim nós conhecemos a igreja e nos batizamos nela.
E a minha mãe tornou-se adventista, batizou-se também.
Eu não sentia o Espírito Santo, porque foi uma coisa mais formal, uma coisa que todo mundo se batizava.
Meu padrasto, ele tinha algumas ideias meio equivocadas sobre a Bíblia, sobre o povo de Deus.
Meu último filho tinha 5 anos. O pai dele saiu da igreja. Eu, como esposa, ainda com aquele batismo mecânico que eu tive, fui acompanhá-lo.
Enquanto eu fazia faculdade de teologia, a minha mãe um dia me ligou dizendo que ia se separar do meu padrasto. Ela acabou se afastando do meu padrasto, mas também da fé.
Aí chegou um tempo que ela me chamou no quarto dela, ela falou assim, eu lembro bem certinho, filha, a mãe não vai mais na igreja com você. Você vai sozinha. Falei, tá, mãe, eu respeito a opinião da senhora, te respeito muito, mas eu vou ficar triste por ter ido na igreja sem a companhia da senhora. E a partir daquele momento, minha mãe deixou de ser minha mãe.
Eu sentia realmente peso nos ombros, sofrimento, não me realizava em nada que fazia, me enterrei.
Minha mãe não foi me ver como um pastor formado, porque ela dizia que o lugar onde a gente estaria fazendo a formatura era um templo que adorava ídolos, porque Jesus Cristo era um ídolo.
Meu casamento ela foi. Briguei com ela. Eu falei, mãe, eu não vou casar de novo.
Sim, eu não fui na formatura do meu filho. Eu não fui na formatura da minha filha.
Aí eu tive meu primeiro filho. Aí teve a apresentação dele na igreja. Eu falei, mãe, vai na apresentação. Ela não foi. Teve cantatas que eu canto no coral, que ela não foi. Momentos que ela perdeu e não voltam nunca mais.
A minha mãe não se importava. Na verdade, a relação com ela ficou muito difícil. E essa rejeição de Jesus fez com que tudo que eu acreditava se tornasse desgostoso para ela, decepcionante para ela, um desastre para ela. Eu orei, sonhei várias estratégias para alcançá-la. Mas tudo que eu fazia apenas fazia com que ela se distanciasse ainda mais de mim.
Teve uma certa vez que eu estava jejuando e ela falou, filha, você não vai almoçar? Aí eu falei assim, não, mãe, hoje eu não vou. Ela olhou para mim e falou assim, você está jejuando por minha causa, é. Pode comer, filha, não adianta você fazer jejum por mim. E aquilo me quebrou, assim.
Que muitas vezes eu fui às lágrimas, nos finais de sermão, quando eu falava assim, olha, você que tem uma mãe que está afastada, um pai que não é da Igreja Adventista, não desista de orar por eles. E quando eu falava isso, eu estava falando para eu ouvir também. A minha mãe era resistente como uma rocha.
E eu continuava orando por ela. Sempre. Cada vez com mais amor, cada vez com mais cuidado.
Sermões Dia das Mães, era um momento terrível para mim.
Mas eles nunca chegavam para mim e diziam, poxa mãe, você não vai na igreja, eles nunca falaram isso. Mas eles sempre me rodearam de carinho, de atenção, apesar de eu ter feito tanto assim, ser tão indiferente com eles.
Todos os dias, em 15 anos, eu orei pela minha mãe.
O meu filho sempre me convidava, minha filha sempre me convidava para vir à igreja.
No dia 27 de agosto de 2014, numa quarta-feira, eu iria pregar na igreja mais perto da casa da minha mãe.
E aí nessa quarta-feira meu irmão foi lá e ela falou assim, eu preciso saber o endereço da igreja. Eu já fiquei meio assim, o endereço
soava tão estranho que depois de 15 anos eu estava pedindo aquilo. Agora eu não estava com nenhuma estratégia montada. A minha irmã foi para casa dela e ficamos só eu e a minha mãe. E eu falei assim: mãe, eu vou pregar hoje na igreja mais perto da sua casa. A senhora não quer ir comigo?
Daí eu disse: não, tá muito frio, meu filho. Não, mãe não vai. Mãe tá de calça. Não, mãe pode ir de calça.
E ela disse uma coisa que ela nunca tinha dito antes desses 15 anos. Ela falou assim: será? Pra nós isso já era muita coisa.
Aí eu vim com ele.
É a deixa. É o momento que eu orei por 15 anos na minha vida, eu vou pregar pra minha mãe. O que, que eu prego agora?
Ela fechou o olho, olhou bem assim pra mim. Mas se alguém olhar de lado pra mim, de canto de olho, eu nunca mais volto pra igreja. E quando eu entrei, eu senti que os irmãos me pegaram no colo. A recepção foi de... meu, foi muito importante na hora.
Chegou a hora de eu pregar. Uma irmã da igreja já sentou do lado da minha mãe com uma bíblia. E eu pensei, ótimo, tá fazendo tudo direitinho. E eu nem que tivesse planejado com a igreja, nem que tivesse feito uma reunião, teria dado tão certo. Mas é porque eu acredito que eles estavam sendo usados por Deus naquele momento. Sobre o que eu preguei? A graça de Jesus. Quando eu fiz o apelo e perguntei quem aceitava a graça maravilhosa do Senhor Jesus, a minha mãe se colocou em pé, em lágrimas. E ela falou assim: como é que eu pude rejeitar Jesus por tanto tempo? No último domingo de setembro de 2014, eu tive a alegria de entrar no tanque batismal com a minha mãe e a minha irmã.
Foi uma alegria muito imensa, muito feliz. Ela tremia muito, a gente se abraçou muito. O meu último filho até disse para mim, disse: filho, me perdoa para a mãe ter se afastado da igreja, ter tirado você também.
Ele cresceu a vida inteira ouvindo a minha mãe falando mal da igreja adventista, falando mal de Jesus.
Ele: mãe, eu sempre tive Jesus no meu coração. Eu sentia que um dia a senhora ia voltar.
Meu irmão tem 20 anos agora, está estudando a Bíblia, e pela graça de Deus, muito em breve, eu vou ter a alegria de entrar no tanque batismal.
Meu pai, eu estou orando há 34 anos por ele. E vou orar mais 34 se precisar. Porque eu sei que ele vai voltar. E você que ora, não desista. Porque a tua oração vai fazer essa mudança. Não parece a mesma mulher que me chamou no quarto e disse que não ia mais entrar na igreja, que não ia mais comigo na igreja. Ela tá aqui agora comigo. Mas eu quero dizer muito obrigado por vocês nunca terem desistido de mim, meus filhos. Devo isso hoje muito. Por eles nunca terem desistido de mim.
You see, the theme of prayer, the fact that the church was prepared, the fact that we had it all planned, these are the results.
Amen.
Amen.